your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're shifting focus a little bit away from the resource sector and looking more broadly at the U.S. equity markets. Just to note, throughout this week, I had a number of commentaries that were focused on the U.S. equity markets. And really, my takeaway was that a lot of people have shifted a bit more pessimistic or bearish towards these U.S. equity markets. And especially for the start of the week and even through the tail end of the week, we did see some general weakness. But again, it wasn't huge weakness and it didn't seem to truly build on itself. That being said, I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, again, the general mood towards the markets seems to be negative and bearish. What's your outlook on these markets?
Yeah, that's right. At least, maybe not in some of the broader surveys, which are still fairly indicate fairly bullish sentiment, but maybe in financial journalism and some of the social media financial outlets, things the sentiment seems to be a little bit more negative, a little bit more dour than the market action would suggest. And to me, that would kind of suggest that that would make me lean a little bit more bullish. You know, people are being a little bit too pessimistic given the market action, and because of that would suggest that maybe this uptrend could continue to grind a little bit higher. You know, we did see after that top in February, you know, we had that perfect kind of 3-month trading window following the U.S. election when everything pretty much went straight up. Since then, it's been what we've called kind of a two-way market with stocks and groups going up and down. Now, the two-way market we've been talking about has kind of evolved into a notion where it's two-way in the sense that we've got some areas of the market going up, some going down. So we have more of a delineation between winners and losers at this point. So you have to be a little bit more selective in what you're investing in. But from a broad market perspective, we still don't see any indication of an impending major top or a major correction or anything like that. So from our perspective, I would say anything overly bearish or overly concerning might not be warranted quite yet at this point. So we're still looking. You know, we've trimmed a bunch of profits in areas that have broken down and switching into newer relative strength areas. So we have taken some off the table, but still looking to buy the dip in new relative strength areas once we get dips like we've seen. Over the last week or so, we got a little bit of dip in some areas and put some more cash to work. So we'll continue doing that until we see, more decisive and quantitative reasons to be more concerned.
So you do bring up a good point there, Dana, where we are hearing in the financial world some more bearish comments from some of the commentators, but some of the underlying sentiment data is still showing almost extremely high bullish sentiment. So I guess we need to balance those two out. When it comes to the clear winners and losers, though, you're right. The last about 3 months, let's say, there has been a divergence where certain sectors have been definitely leading and some have been lagging. Where do you see some of the winning sectors currently?
Yeah, some of the winners. So we've seen some of those areas that had been leading suffered potential breakdowns, but have now recovered, like some of the areas in technology, healthcare, back leading the way. Semiconductors have reemerged again. I think they look strong. And then across the gamut, you've got other sectors doing well. Consumer staples breaking out to new highs. Materials continue to grind higher. Same thing with industrials. Consumer discretionary is kind of like the tech stocks, has rebounded well back to new highs. So, and financials continue to pretty much grind their way higher. So there's no shortage of areas of options to choose from a relative strength standpoint. So from that perspective, I would say it's not things have thinned. Leadership has thinned to some extent, but I would not characterize it as thin by any means.
What are some of the losing sectors then? Where are you trimming some of your positions? Where are you not buying the dip?
Sure. So we saw, since February top, we saw some areas, some former leaders start to break down, some of the positions, some of our positions, some of the areas in the energy, biotech, the small caps and mid and micro caps, after trying to lead the way initially, have broken down below some technical pivot levels. So just over the last couple weeks into the bounce, we have trimmed those positions and, like I said, have begun to move into other newer relative strength or areas that have reasserted themselves as relative strength. So I guess those would be a few of the areas that we have gotten out of over the last few days or weeks.
What have you seen in terms of changes in breadth? Because it was, I think, just 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago max, that you were outlining some breadth indicators that were at or very near some all-time highs.
Yeah, it's, breadth is, you know, a very large component in our risk model. So the reason being, we want to be on the right side of the overall market. So about 70% to 80% of the direction of a stock is due to the direction of the overall market. So we want to be aligned with the market, and breadth statistics help tremendously in that regard. And there has been some deterioration, some softness in the breadth, but we've seen, I've seen more comments, more articles on the deteriorating breadth readings or indicators than I've seen in a long time. And to be honest, there's been some loosening, some relaxing in the breadth statistics, but nothing that quantitatively, from a historical perspective, would deem to be that damaging or that destructive or that ominous from our perspective. In fact, several of our breadth indicators, key indicators, not related to small caps, mind you, have continued to be firm and are actually even accelerating right now. So I would say there are select pockets of the market, i.e. those small caps and micro cap areas, that have seen some deterioration in the breadth that is maybe meaningful, but overall still not seen reason to be that concerned about the breadth at this point. Like you and I talked before the call, the value line, looking at those value line indices, which track the geometric tracks the median stock and the arithmetic tracks the average stock in the market, those are both sitting right at all-time highs still even today. So no reason to be overly concerned from that perspective yet.
So Dana, big picture, quick comment here. When you deal with some of these high breadth levels and where sentiment levels were and still for the most part are at some of these extreme levels, that all, to me at least, still points to a bullish market, even though you could argue that, yes, there needs to maybe be a little bit of a pullback in some of these levels simply because they're at such extremes. But overall, a little bit of weakness. Maybe that's why there is that buy the dip mentality, because, again, extremely high sentiment, extremely high breadth, that means bull market.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, sentiment is an important thing at extremes, and we've been seeing elevated ratings, but I would say though sentiment is low on our list of priorities, because you could have extreme high sentiment readings and just have prices and breadth just roll right over it for an extensive period of time. And we've seen that. I think one maybe under the radar factor in this market as it pertains to sentiment is, like you said, just a little bit of a sell-off, you know, one to 2 days or even maybe a week of a sell-off, and you're seeing in pockets of the financial community, you're seeing a jump in bearishness, a jump in concern, a drop in sentiment that you would think would be, you know, reflective of maybe a 5% correction or something like that. And you're seeing a quick jump to bearishness, even on the slightest pullback. So I think as long as you have that mentality, as long as that sentiment condition exists, then yeah, the bull market is probably ripe to continue, because it's only once that cautiousness, that fear on every single dip, once that dissipates, then you have complacency, then you have a overly bullish sentiment picture that is ripe for a more of a major correction. So I'd say obviously we're not yet at that point. Once we get to that point, then you're going to see, you know, a little bit more damage, and people will be more willing to jump in and buy the dip on every little blip, as opposed to, you know, kind of sounding the alarms on every down day in the market, like seemingly is going on right now. So like I said, as long as that continues, as long as you see those alarm bells, then it's probably safe to keep buying those dips. So that's what we're doing.
Now, what about news events too, Dana? Because we're recording this later in the day on Thursday, and kind of out of the blue, we got that whole new Biden tax update when it comes to capital gains, and that caused a drop in the market. Again, not a huge drop, but definitely something to note as we progress into Friday. I know you don't invest around news events, but how do you view something like that that pushed the markets down?
Right. So our models are all quantitative. They're all statistics. They come from market data itself. So there's no way to model news events or rumors or headlines or anything like that. So our perspective is if in the event that those news events or headlines or events like that, exogenous kind of market events, are important, it will eventually leak into the data, into the quantitative data, into the statistics, and we'll be able to track it that way. To the extent that it's just noise, which I think 95% of the time it just is, then use it to your advantage. It's almost always a fade. These news events are almost always a fade. If it pushes prices down out of the blue, use it to your advantage and buy some stuff. If it pushes prices, you know, if prices skyrocket because of a news event, then use it to trim a little bit. But the news events are almost always, they're very emotional, and they're almost always a fade in the short term. So like today with the capital gains tax rumor, we're looking at stuff to buy into this dip, because again, it's usually a short term reaction to news events, and typically, unless it ends up leaking into like meaningful statistics and quantitative measures in the market, then it's usually just noise and something to be faded.
All right, Dana, thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. Always great having you on the show, and a very interesting take on these markets. Again, sticking to your models. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, Dana. Everybody, especially listening on the radio, we're going to be back for the second hour, highlighting some of the key company interviews and updates I recorded throughout the week. Dana, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.